helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. When he was running for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States, John Edwards repeatedly stated that there were two Americas, one for the rich and another for the poor. While there may be a kernel of truth to that statement, it is, at its core, just another hyperbolic class warfare trope designed to curry favor and votes. Today, it's quite obvious that there are two Americas, one for the politically connected and another for, well, everyone else. That's not to say political partisanship never placed their thumbs on the scale of justice, but today, it has come out from behind the curtain and taken its place front and center on the public stage. What are we the people to do? How can we avoid the double standard without ignoring a person's unique situation? How can we have equal justice under the law without becoming a legalistic nightmare? Can we be compassionate without becoming sentimental? In the Constitution, we see that one of the goals of the document is to establish justice. How do we do that without becoming another Inspector Javert from Les Miserables? Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I am so glad you could join me. And today, that's the question I'm going to try to answer. We're going to look at the most blatant and obvious double standards in our life today. And boy, howdy, they are front and center. But I want to go beyond that and see what can we do to not find another one-size-fits-all that works for absolutely nobody. So unless you've been hiding under a rock, you should have heard about the recent plea deal for the son of President Joe Biden, Hunter. And to me, this whole saga literally reeks of the double standards that have been on evidence for more than a decade, easily more than maybe even two decades, that I can think of. Of course, you know, all of the Republican candidates for president are identifying this two-tiered justice system. It's become our little mantra, right? Two-tiered justice system. Well, by definition, if it's two-tiered, it's not a justice system. Justice is defined as to getting what is due. And, well, if you have two tiers of justice, someone's not getting what they're due. But before we get to the plea deal, even more information is being coming out. There are whistleblowers coming up pointing to some true malfeasance in the in our government system. Well, for example, two IRS whistleblowers, I believe they're IRS whistleblowers, testified before the House Ways and Means Committee. And the committee, the panel that reviewed this, they had full access to it behind closed doors. They then voted, pretty much on a party line vote, to release the transcript of the testimony to the public. What is in the transcript is, it's a perfect example of the double standards we've been talking about. One testimony said that, I am blowing the whistle because the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office, Department of Justice Tax, and Department of Justice provided preferential treatment and unchecked conflicts of interest in an important high-profile investigation of the president's son, Hunter Biden. As example, this whistleblower said that there were actually even worse charges that were planned against Hunter Biden for numerous tax violations that were quashed, that requests for search warrants were suppressed by the I believe it was the Department of Justice. Something that would not happen if you could not imagine happening if it was somebody else that was being investigated. Another whistleblower stated that the decision was whether the juice was worth the squeeze. In other words, whether or not actually investigating Hunter Biden was worth the blowback that would, I'm assumingly, come from the White House and other parts of the executive branch. And in fact, Representative Jason Smith of Missouri said the Department of Justice twice stopped the U.S. attorney, David Weiss, from filing charges against Hunter. once in a California and once in Washington, D.C. Now, of course, this directly contradicts statements made by the Attorney General Garland, which should surprise absolutely nobody. But he said to the press that Weiss would be given full control without interference from DOJ leadership. Surprise, surprise, that may not be the case. Now, from what I've found so far, Hunter Biden has entered a plea agreement dealing with both tax evasion and a gun charge. See, the IRS is dealing with tax evasion when Hunter Biden purchased a gun. He filled out what's called, it's a Form 4473. It's the background check form. Whenever you buy a firearm from a licensed dealer, you fill one of these out so that they can run a background check on it. And one of the questions is, have you or are you currently using any illegal drugs? Hunter Biden lied. Again, no one should be surprised. I know there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people who lie on their 4473s every year. But when they get caught, most people get treated differently. So Hunter Biden was charged with two counts of willful failure to pay federal income tax. And the second had to do with the lying on a federal form to purchase a firearm, whether or not he was addicted to a controlled substance. Now, I want to be fair, and I mean I want to be fair to everybody. There is plenty of times when plea deals are arranged, where someone agrees to plead to a specific charge, usually a lesser charge for a lesser sentence, sometimes because the evidence is iffy, sometimes to avoid the messiness and expense of an actual jury trial. Simply the fact that Hunter Biden got a plea deal, to me, is not automatically an example of a two-tier justice system, right? Of two Americas. But when I start looking at the details, and I compare it to other people, and how they have been treated, it certainly does bring up the specter of, again, a two-tier justice system, which is no justice system at all. Now let's start with the weapons charge, because I believe that one's actually a felony. To lie in a 4473 is a felony, and that's important for several reasons, not the least of which is, as a convicted felon, Mr. Biden would not be allowed to own or possess a firearm ever again. He also could be, depending on the rules, and I'm not familiar with the details of that part of the law, he may lose his right to vote. Felons often are you know, part of the punishment involves losing your right to vote. So what did this plea deal involve? Well, it involved what's called a diversion program. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but as I understand the diversion program, basically, Hunter Biden has to get treatment for his drug abuse, and he has to he has a certain amount of time where he has to remain clean. He has to get treatment, and as long as he does these things, I think it's for 5 years, then the charge is dropped. Which is extremely important, because a diversion program means if he's a good boy, he doesn't get the felony conviction. He doesn't become a convicted felon and therefore lose his right to own a firearm and potentially to vote. So I've seen a lot of people focus on the tax deal, where basically the tax charges are, as I understand them, misdemeanors. He has to pay the back taxes. He has to pay a fine. But there's, again, we want to take this into context. See, he has been charged with two misdemeanors and a felony gun charge, and he will spend no jail time. While at the very same time, a 69-year-old grandmother is spending 60 days in jail for walking into the U.S. Capitol and taking video. No evidence that she actually committed a crime, because she didn't break it. There's no evidence she broke into the Capitol. She was simply one of the crowd that, again, the police opened the doors, invited them in. She walked around, shot some video. She spends 60 days in jail. You can commit a federal gun felony if you're a Biden and get away without jail time, without any jail time. And in fact, if you behave yourself, that gun charge disappears. And again, this is just the latest in an ever-growing line of where crimes are treated differently based on who the person is. For example, Michael Flynn was prosecuted for the same offense committed by Andrew McCabe. Donald Trump is being prosecuted for the same offense that Hillary Clinton was excused for. And Mark Houck is facing federal charges for protesting outside an abortion clinic, yet more than 100 pro-life organizations have been vandalized with little if any federal response. Derek Chauvin was convicted for violating George Floyd's rights by holding him down, yet Michael Byrd received commendations for killing an unarmed Ashley Babbitt on the Capitol. Now, both Floyd and Babbitt were committing crimes, but Floyd was 6'4" and currently in what's believed a fentanyl-induced rage or resisted arrest, while Babbitt, being 5'2" and unarmed, she was simply entering the Capitol. See, you have this disparate way of dealing with crimes. Now, the other thing I want to keep in mind, and I want to be fair about this, every crime has its own unique set of circumstances. So while I agree you can, in the broad strokes, compare a Trump to a Clinton or a Biden, a Flynn to a McCabe, a Chauvin to Mr. Byrd, you also have to look at the specific details, right? So I don't want to get too far into the generalizations like a lot of the punditry has lately, but I think there's enough evidence going around that not simply the charges, but how the investigations went forth. Remember, we went through 6 years of investigations into the Russia hoax, only to find out that, not only was it obvious that this was, there was no evidence to warrant the investigation. The FBI had zero evidence to initiate the investigation, but they did so anyway. And we've had three, of the FBI suppressing what turns out to be factual information, not only about Hunter Biden, but about the laptop and these attempts to suppress the information before an election. This should be very disturbing to people. It should be quite concerning. Look at it this way. I saw an interesting article. This came from the Crime Prevention Research Center. They made the point out that a black woman with no criminal history is facing jail time for using marijuana while possessing a handgun and making a false statement about her drug use in buying a gun. Meanwhile, Mr. Biden, he gets away with diversion. This happened before. I can't remember the lady's name. She drove from Pennsylvania, where she had a gun permit, into New Jersey, and she was charged with a felony because she didn't have a permit in New Jersey. But here you have, again, because he's connected. Now, some people make the a racial connection. I see this simply as a politically connected connection. If you're part of the right political party, if you're part of the right inner circle, if you hold the right ideas, you can get away with felonies, and they'll be expunged, be wiped away, and that is dangerous. It's not simply the idea of, yes, we want equal protection under the law. We want the laws to apply equally, unless, of course, they're being applied to us. So I want to be fair. Are there true mitigating circumstances with Hunter Biden? I have not seen them. I'm not saying they're not there. I certainly haven't seen them. And I certainly haven't seen the mitigating circumstances that involve the only mitigating circumstance I've noticed involving many of the other cases is the people either were or were involved with Trump or Trump's campaign. So apparently, if you support former President Trump, you get investigated and jailed and possibly shot. If you support Biden or whatever Democrat is in charge at the moment, well, then if you're close enough to them, you can skate. I mean, if you defend your son being bullied by a pro-abortion protester, you get a visit by an armed group of FBI agents. On the other hand, if you firebomb a church or a pro-life center, then maybe people get around to looking at it eventually. And it's that dichotomy, that unequalness under the law, which one of the reasons why we declared independence. Now, remember, in the list of grievances in the Declaration of Independence, one of them was for protecting them, in that case being the military, by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. The idea of unequal treatment under the law. If you were attached to the crown and you committed murder, well, you got a trial, but it was a fake trial. It wasn't a real trial. If, on the other hand, you were not attached to the crown, well, you got another trial, possibly a fake trial, but with a much different anticipated outcome. So I have some other things, other examples of these two Americas, but I have to take a break. Before I do, though, I want to remind you to please head to the website, constitutionstudy.com. That's where you'll find everything we're doing here. I'm going to ask you, please sign up for one of the mailing lists. It's one of the best ways to keep in touch with the Constitution Study. It also helps greatly as we reach out. We avoid the censorship. We can keep involved with what's going on. You can also have my articles and videos sent directly to your inbox. Just do that there. And, of course, please ask a question. Click the Ask a Question button. I'm still looking for questions to answer on the radio program, and I need some more fodder before I have a new segment. Now, also, you may notice I sound a little... I'm on the road here, and one of the things I know when I'm on the road is usually I have a hard time sleeping. So that's when I reach for the only supplement designed to support all four stages of sleep. Help me fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed. And that is Healthy Cells REM Sleep Supplement. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you get to try this or any other of Healthy Cells products and get 25% off your first order. All you have to do is go to the website, put your cart together, find whatever products you find most interesting. You got a lot of great products there. But when you check out, use the code OUTLOUD. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, Everyday America. As you rejoin the Constitution study today, we're pointing out two Americas. Not the rich and poor that Jonathan Edwards was using, you know, a couple decades ago to try and win the nomination for the Democratic Party for president, but the one we see today. The two American justice systems, the injustice systems, I should call them, where if you're connected to the right people, you can pretty much get away with murder. But if you're not, if you're connected, you know, you don't get those deals. And even worse, if you're connected with the wrong people, well, they go after you. So we've been talking a lot about Hunter Biden's, what some are referring to as a sweetheart deal. And it certainly seems like that at face value. Although, again, I don't have all the details. I don't know all the mitigating factors that may have been brought into place. But it certainly does seem to be that Hunter Biden is getting special treatment because his father is politically connected. Not simply because his father is president. I think that there's a large part of that. But as we're going to see over the next few minutes, this has been going on since long before Biden was president. So you have to take that into consideration as well. Now, no surprise, Hunter Biden's attorney says, hey, there was a full investigation. This was proper. This deal is good. And I expect him to say that. I would be surprised if the attorney for the defendant that got a nice deal didn't think it was fair and just. I mean, that's kind of their job. But I want to look a little deeper at things. So the next question that has come to light and has been brought about by several people is why now? Why after, was it 5 years of investigation into Hunter Biden's tax fraud? I don't know how many years into his the illegal gun charge. With everything else that's going on, why now do we suddenly go from an investigation that seems stalled to a plea deal where Hunter Biden does no jail time, pays some fines, and can easily get his a felony conviction, a felony guilty plea scrubbed from his record? Well, maybe it's a bit of a conspiracy theory, but it certainly does seem to be well-timed. In other words, the purpose of this particular plea deal could be twofold, right? One is it could be a misdirection, right? Things are going on with Biden and the White House and the government, and hey, look over here, go look, a squirrel, you know, pay no attention to what's going on here. Look at this. We got a conviction, and see, the justice system is fair because, you know, Hunter Biden pled guilty. Of course, if other people were not given those same opportunities, does that really mean it's a justice system or is it an injustice system? In other words, is this truly just a slap on the wrist for Hunter Biden, or is there other, when compared with how other people are treated? And is it all meant to divert attention from, like I said, other things like, the inflation, the deficit, the debt, Ukraine, the mounting evidence that Joe Biden took a bribe, that he used his political influence on behalf of foreign actors like Ukraine and China. Could it be don't look over there. Look over here. Here we have the Hunter Biden. Could it also be that since so many of the charges or accusations, I should say, against President Biden are linked to work done with his son, Hunter, that by pleading guilty to these, the investigations will be shut down? I don't know, right? I don't pretend to have insight I'm not sure of, but it certainly does seem that there is a, there may be, let's say, a corrupt reason why this was decided to be done now. You know, that possibly Hunter Biden is taking, I can't really call it a fall, a stumble. He's taking a stumble for the team so that, you know, the big guy doesn't have to worry about this anymore. He's got a credible excuse now to shut down those investigations that have been getting really, really close to Joe. Again, that's speculation. That's my opinion. I don't have facts for that yet, but it certainly is something to consider. Now, there's another example of the two Americas, a double standard, kind of hiding in the weeds of this. Back after the Sandy Hook murders, then-President Obama announced that then-Vice President Joe Biden was going to head up a task force to develop a proposal to reduce gun violence. Now, they put together, they did all their little, you know, mumbo-jumbo dances, and they came up with a plan to protect the children and communities by reducing gun violence. This, again, done, you know, this is now, then-Vice President Biden putting this together. Now, in the second section of the proposal, it says that to maximize efforts, maximize enforcement efforts to prevent gun violence and prosecute gun crime, the Attorney General will work with all United States attorneys to continue to ensure that every appropriate resource is focused on preventing gun violence. To this end, the Attorney General will ask all U.S. attorneys to consider whether supplemental efforts would be appropriate in their districts in areas such as prosecutions of people who have been convicted of a felony and illegally seek to obtain a firearm, or people who attempt to evade the background check system by providing false information. That last piece, people who attempt to evade the background check system by providing false information, is exactly what Hunter Biden has now pled guilty to. That, you know, he said he was not an addict of a controlled substance when he was, which is an attempt to evade the background check system. Now, again, I don't have all the background information on that particular case, but it sure does seem that that's exactly the type of things that then Vice President Joe Biden wanted to maximize enforcement efforts on. We want to maximize the enforcement of these people trying to get on background checks, unless, of course, it happens to be his son. Now, listen, I've heard people saying, well, you know, come on, he loves his son. I'm sure he does love his son. Well, actually, I take that back. I'm not sure he actually loves his son. And I say this, let me be specific this. See, to me, love is not simply an ooey-gooey feeling. To love someone is to want what is best for them, even if they're not happy about it. So to have a son with a drug addiction and to put him in situations where that addiction can easily come out is not loving. It's actually encouraging the damaging behaviors. I don't consider that loving. To put him in a place where apparently you're going to protect him from the consequences of his bad actions is not loving. I go back to, I can't remember the verse. There's a verse of scripture where, someone who will not correct their child doesn't love them. And that's exactly what we're seeing in the Biden family. I'm sure Joe Biden thinks he loves his son. I'm sure he has wonderful emotions for his son. I'm sure he has the natural fatherly instinct to want to protect his son from the consequences of his actions. But that is not love. That is, it's enablement. It's enabling him to continue to go on this path. But again, I can't simply blame it as Joe Biden. Why? Well, there have been Democrats around the country that keep saying we need more gun laws. We need more laws that infringe on the rights of law-abiding citizens simply for trying to exercise a right, that a natural right that is protected by the Second Amendment. But, of course, that's not if you're talking about the son of the president. So you remember, all these Democrats that want to that talk about all of these laws, but here you have a perfect example of the laws not being enforced. Joe Biden wanted to strictly enforce the laws against evading the background check until it's his son. And now, every time I hear somebody say, you know, we've got to have a new law, how would you enforce the laws that you had? I've been saying that for decades. But now we have another perfect example of, okay, you put these laws in place, but you exempt your friends from it. That's exactly what's happened. Now, I'm probably. Again, there may be extenuating circumstances that I am not aware of. But for everyone who's out there saying, you know, we need more background checks, we need universal background checks. What good are universal background checks if people can simply bypass the background check and not suffer any consequences for it? Well, I shouldn't say people. I should say the right people, the connected people, the ones that have the right last name or are connected to the right organizations or support the right causes. They're the ones that can get away with this, not average everyday people. And of course, we want to take this in context. It's not simply that Hunter Biden was investigated for 5 years for tax evasion and seems to have gotten a sweetheart deal. Not simply that he was he pled guilty to what Joe Biden would consider a serious gun offense, a felony charge, but was basically pled down to diversion, meaning you be a good boy and we'll expunge this from your record. See, this comes in the context of other examples. Well, for example, remember the Hunter Biden laptop? The whole scandal was based around, well, you know, is this Hunter Biden's laptop or not? And that was important because it included information not simply about Hunter, but about Joe. And the idea was, you know, it had pictures of him committing crimes. There was information in emails about him committing crimes. And of course, during the 2020 election, oh, this is Russian disinformation. We find out now that the 51 intelligence specialists that signed a letter saying that this was obviously, this had all the signs of Russian disinformation, not only were encouraged to do that, we'll not say persuaded, we'll just at least say encouraged to do that, that they were sought out by administration or by officials within the organization to sign this letter. We find out now that all that claims that it wasn't Hunter Biden's laptop, not only did we know it was false, the FBI knew it was false. The FBI knew that this was Hunter Biden's laptop. They knew that the claims about it being Russian disinformation were false, that it was Hunter Biden's laptop. And they knew as early as November 2019. You see, the FBI matched the device number of the laptop against Hunter Biden's Apple iCloud ID and said, yep, in March of 2019, we know this laptop belonged to Hunter Biden. Yet we still have the letter saying, oh no, it's 50 officials said, no, this is Russian disinformation. We had Joe Biden in debate with then President Trump saying, no, they're the majority of intelligence officials. No, they say this is Russian disinformation. We know it's Russian disinformation. Couldn't possibly be my sons. They'd known for almost a year before the election. And again, it means not simply that people were covering for Hunter Biden. They were doing so apparently to manipulate an election. Because in, I think, 5 swing states, states that made a difference between which, you know, whether Trump or Biden would now be residing at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, something like 17% of Biden voters in those states said they would have voted differently, more than the margin of error in those 5 states. In other words, if this information had not been hidden by the FBI behind a cloud of lies, we probably would be talking about a President Trump today rather than a President Biden. So we see this double standard going back, not simply in this case. This has become an ongoing method of operation. We've seen it again. You can go all the way back to Secretary of State Clinton and the way her own document scandal was handled. We're seeing, you know, if you're in the right group, if you support the right causes, if you're in the right people, if you're friends with the right people, you are protected. But if you're not, or even worse, if you're connected to the wrong people, well, then you're persecuted, you're pilloried, you're treated like, you know, you're not only are you called names, your rights are ignored. Whether it be the questionable raid on Mar-a-Lago, whether compared to, you know, no one ever raided the Biden compound with the documents. It wasn't armed FBI that went in looking for that, which should be, again, a very concerning thing. Imagine not knowing, or actually should say knowing, that based on who you're associated with, your activity may be treated as a crime or maybe washed away as, it's not that big a deal. Because you got to see, BLM, Antifa, they committed arson, vandalism, assault for a year. Was a year before the January 6th group showed up. You had Antifa and BLM rioting in Washington, D.C. Have you seen one prosecution from that? Yet we have hundreds of people still in jail for at best misdemeanor charges because they supported the wrong side. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the actions of a republic. It's not the actions of a free country. Yes, I want to say it's the actions of a banana republic, but I don't know. We've gone so far as that might even be insulting to banana republics. That we've gone so far beyond that even banana republics would look at this and say, you've got to be kidding me. And there's so many more examples. Not just about the Bidens. I spent a lot of time talking about the Bidens because it is the big news right now, but there is so many more. But once again, I have to take a break. Now, I hope you'll check out the Constitution Study Patriots Program. It's really exciting. I've got some good material lined up for it. You can find out more. Just go to constitutionstudy.com/patriots. You can sign up for updates. I email updates as news comes out about the program. It's really going to kick off in July. I have a boot camp on July 1st that I'm recording that will be edited. That'll be available online probably somewhere in mid-July, and that's really going to be the entry point to people getting into the Patriots program. Now, also, you know, again, this news and information is out there, but you have to go looking for it. The days of waiting for the corporate media to come tell you what's going on, they should be behind us. So do me a favor. Go to AmericaOutloud.com every day as an excellent source of news and information. But I want you to do your part. Don't simply read what's there, but share it. Let other people know about the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos. See, if we wish to secure the blessings of liberty, we must do something. And the first thing we can do is share what we have learned.
Well, the Out Loud Truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're talking about two Americas. I spent a large part of the program talking about how, depending on who you support, depending on which group you associate with, you get treated differently. Now, again, I want to be sure we understand that there should not be a... The problem with one size fits all is it never considers an individual situation. So I don't want us to look at this like so many have and saying, you know, see, Hunter Biden got off and everybody should be treated exactly the same. I agree, but I also believe we need room for individuality, the ability to look at the individual situation and make a judgment call based on that. However, there's one area that is not, well, I guess it's become political, where certain ideas you're allowed to have and certain ideas are not. And I want you to listen to the testimony of Riley Gaines before the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee on what it was like, what her experience was like swimming against, Leah Thomas.
In addition to being forced to give up our awards and our titles and our opportunities, the NCAA forced me and my female swimmers to swim to share a locker room with Thomas, a 6'4", 22-year-old male equipped with and exposing male genitalia. Let me be clear about this. We were not forewarned we would be sharing a locker room. No one asked for our consent, and we did not give our consent. And I'll set the scene. A swimming locker room is not a place of modesty. You're undressing, you're fully exposed, and we were forced to take off our swimsuit in front of a man who was doing the exact same thing. If nothing else, I truly hope how you can see this as a violation of our right to privacy and how some of us have felt uncomfortable, embarrassed, and even traumatized by this experience. I know that I don't speak for every single person who competed against Leah Thomas, but I know I speak for many because I saw the tears. I saw the tears from the 9th and 17th place finishers who missed out on being named an All-American by one place. And I can attest to the extreme discomfort in the locker room when you, from these 18 to 22-year-old girls, when you turn around and there's male eyes watching in that same room. And I can attest to the whispers and the grumbles of anger and frustration from these girls who, just like myself, had worked our entire lives to get to this meet. And I can attest to the fact that around the country, these female athletes who opposed the inclusion of Leah Thomas in the women's divisions were threatened, intimidated, and emotionally blackmailed into silence and submission.
So to me, the testimony has a couple of very interesting parts. First, what it was like being a woman in a women's locker room while a male, a physically intact male, undressed before you and looked at you while you were undressed. That is disturbing. And the part of this whole thing that truly bothers me is the fact that one person's desires were allowed to override the desires, the rights, the privacy of dozens of young ladies. It was bad enough that these young ladies lost their opportunities for championships and scholarships because of this. But to put them in that situation, I mean, when I was a child, we had a term for that. It was abusive. It was sexually abusive. If a boy had entered the girls' locker room, he'd have gotten a talking to, and he'd have gotten, let's just say it wouldn't have been tolerated. Now it's the people objecting to that are not being tolerated. And it's not just the experience of Ms. Thomas. We're seeing more and more news reports of the U.S. Department of Justice and the Department of Education. They're keeping silent after dozens of teachers took educational dollars to take online workshops to get tips on how to violate state law protecting children from these gender ideologists. That's right. They took your tax dollars they embezzled your tax dollars, used them unlawfully in order to find out how to circumvent state law. And the Department of Justice and the Department of Education don't seem to worry about that. Now, I pretty much guarantee that, well, I can't guarantee, if there was a group found to have taken dollars, you know, government dollars, to say promote the idea that the COVID-19 came from a lab in Wuhan, or that there's dangers in the so-called vaccines, well, the DOJ would have been all over it. But you see, we're dealing now with a political agenda. And it's not just the feds. Attorneys general in 15 different states sent a letter to the CEO of Target, concerned about his reaction to the so-called boycott of Target after they promoted LGBT products for children. In the letter we read, "While we understand the basis for this action, we are also concerned it sends a message that those who engage in hateful and disruptive conduct can cause even large corporations to succumb to their bullying, and that they have the power to determine when LGBTQIA+ customers will feel comfortable in Target stores or anywhere in society." Funny how they come to the rescue of people who felt bad. Not that their products were removed from Target. They weren't removed. They were removed from the front of the store. They had originally been available in the back of the store, in other parts of the store, I should say. They were put out front on prominent display. That's what got the backlash. See, it wasn't that Target was selling these products. It was that Target was putting them out front for children, even toddlers. And it was that backlash that people were reacting to. But now you have, you know, it's like a hateful ideology to not want your prepubescent child exposed to sexual ideas they're not mentally or emotionally prepared to deal with is now considered hateful. Again, if the roles were reversed, if, say, Target was promoting, let's say, abstinence-based sex education, I'm sure these same attorneys general would be upset that how dare they allow such a hateful agenda on their premises. Or how about the Olympia, Washington school district, which refused to let students opt out of LGBT pride curriculum and activities. In other words, they were forced to engage in something they may have not had pride in. But you see, it's the political agenda that gets treated differently. I wonder if there were, say, a Christian pride, a Jewish pride curriculum available, and students want to opt out, would the school allow them to? It's this double standard that is being imposed. The thing is, people need to learn to not simply comply because somebody says it's so. Somebody says a man is a woman and a woman is, that there's no difference. You need to be able to stand up with the truth. And again, I'm going to go back to Riley Gaines. This time, there's an interchange between another person testifying, Ms. Kelly Robinson and Senator Kennedy. And at one point, you'll notice Kennedy reaches out to Riley to, we'll say, give a counterpoint to Ms. Robinson's position.
Women,
you don't
some that
believe
are
that a biological male has a physical advantage in sports over a biological female?
Not as a definitive statement.
Give me an example. Well, no, I don't think. How many female members of the NBA do you see?
Well, I can say that, you know, there's been this news article about men that think that they could beat Serena Williams in tennis, right? That they think that they could actually score a point on her.
Let me interrupt for just a second, because Ms. Robinson is using a classic tactic. It's a statement without fact. In other words, she simply says that no male could, or the people she's referring to, could actually score a point on Serena Williams. It's just impossible. It couldn't be.
Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
And this is where Senator Kennedy reaches out to Ms. Gaines and says, what's your experience? Do you have any data to bring to this?
And it's just not the case. She is stronger than that.
What's your experience, Ben? Male, female.
Both Serena and Venus lost to the 203rd ranked male tennis player, which they're phenoms for women. My experience, my husband, he swam at University of Kentucky as well. In terms of accolades and in terms of national ranking, I was a much better swimmer than him. He could kick my butt any day of the week without trying.
Now, the only thing that would make this better is if Ms. Gaines actually had the records, actually had the documentation. If one person saying Serena Williams could beat any guy, and she says, but Ms. Gaines said, wait a second, no, both Serena and Venus lost to the 203rd ranked male. That's where, you have to get to the facts and data, not simply an opinion. Ms. Robinson expressed an opinion as if it were fact. Ms. Riley expressed, at this point, I could only say it's an opinion because she hasn't provided any evidence, but I guess there's evidence behind that. But it's not simply who can beat whom, and it's not even the embarrassment of the locker room. There are some serious potential consequences of this illogic, this unwillingness to observe what is directly in front of you. The Defense Freedom Institute wrote a report. They titled it Catching the Trash. It was based on federal data from 2015 to 2018 and of over 97,000 schools across the United States. What they found was a 74% increase in rape or attempted rape at these schools. Now, the reports also uncover something very scary, and that is the failures at almost every level to actually protect the students, the victims of this abuse, in many ways protecting the abuser. In fact, despite the fact that schools are required by law to both investigate sexual abuse and to notify the parents or at least document the investigation in the employee's personnel file, apparently very few schools actually follow through. Do they actually hold the teacher accountable? And this often ends up with what they call passing the trash, where a teacher is accused of sexual abuse. They investigate, they send them to another school. They do it again and again and again and again. And this comes back to that, this comes back to the two Americans standpoint of, if this happened in other situations, would it be tolerated? Or is it simply, we are going to protect the abusers rather than the victims because it's politically advantageous at the moment? I mean, we saw this happen in Virginia, where it was a student, not a teacher, but a quote-unquote transgender boy raped a young girl in the bathroom. He was simply passed to another school in the district where he did it again. And when the parents of the second victim complained that the school district, rather than dealing with the problem, passed it along, they were the ones that were targeted so often by the media. This is where we saw some of the flags for, potentially violent domestic extremists. So where does that leave us? We all want we want a justice system. We want a system, or at least we claim to want a system, that provides justice. Part of the problem is we can't seem to agree what justice means. I mean, Noah Webster defined justice as the virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. He also lists it as partiality. Now, the modern legal dictionaries define justice as the proper administration of law, the fair and equitable treatment of all individuals under the law. But the problem is, what people call justice often isn't necessarily the fair and equitable treatment under the law. It's what they think is right. And too often, we're basing that on an emotion or an incomplete picture of what's going on. Which is why I kept stressing when I was talking about the Hunter Biden deal, we don't know all of the details. Yes, it looks like he got a sweetheart deal. It looks like he got special treatment. But we don't know all the details. And it's one of the things that always concerns me. In our desire to get justice, too often what we're really looking for is revenge. And we want to make sure that the person who committed the crime is punished. We do so to the exclusion of consideration of the unique situations. It's one of the reasons why mandatory sentencing laws are so dangerous, because they never take into account the considerations of the entire situation. And if you're not familiar with the Victor Hugo book, Les Miserables, I recommend finding one of the movies and watching it and see how Javert, Inspector Javert, his maniacal search for what he calls justice leads him to treat people in situations that are not fair. They're not just based on their circumstances. I'm afraid we can swing from we're going to give everybody a pass because you don't want to make people feel bad to we're going to throw everybody into jail for 20 years, even for stealing a loaf of bread, because we don't want anybody to get possibly special treatment. I think somewhere along the line, we have to find the ground that says we have these laws that establish a framework for punishment, but how do we take into consideration the individual situation of that specific crime? Not who someone is or what they're in, you know, were they black or white or rich or poor, but what did they do and what is the appropriate punishment so that the punishment fits the crime rather than fitting someone's political agenda. Now, I hope you come back and join me for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. If you can't listen then, all the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can find them on your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave me a rating and review. It helps other people find the Constitution Study, and with good ratings and good reviews, people are more likely to at least give it a try, give it a listen. You can find all the links you need there at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com. But as with so many things, I urge you to don't simply look at them, but to share them. Look at these as an opportunity of sharing different points of view, different ideas. The search for the truth begins with the investigation, and that's what you can do. By sharing this content, you're not simply supporting the Constitution Study. You're not simply sharing some information. You're actually helping to share the blessings of liberty to all of us in this great nation, from sea to shining sea.